evening, how are you?
Good, good, good. Don't worry, I've never heard of me either. Gotta be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, it's lovely to be here. For those who haven't yet worked out, I'm from Liverpool. Yeah. It just shows the BBC's commitment to ethnic diversity. They could have put me on anywhere, but they don't know. Let's throw them in Manchester and see what happens. And thanks for that. Thanks for the applause. Because we have this rivalry between us, and it's unnecessary. Let's be honest, it's unnecessary. Between Liverpool and Manchester, what is there? Warrington. And let's be honest, before the Swedes built a shop, we didn't even know it was there. And when the Swedes built the shop, they realised the problems they had. They thought, we're going to build a shop in Warrington. These people are half-breeds from Liverpool and Manchester. Let's make it easy. Let's show them which way to walk around the shop. If you ever go to IKEA and try to walk against the arrows, people scream at you. You can't just go to the marketplace. You've got to go through soft furnishing. Even if you don't want anything in soft furnishing, that's why all over the country, people are walking home with 4-foot snakes that they didn't want to buy. And you just buy stuff, don't you? Like we bought a new fridge. We bought a new fridge. And we had a fridge. There was nothing wrong with the fridge that we had. It just wasn't massive. So my wife wanted a new fridge. She wanted a new silver fridge that's the size of a bungalow. So she wanted a new fridge, and because I like sex, I said, yeah. And we got this fridge, and the best thing about this fridge, the big selling point about this fridge, is that you can get instant cold water direct from the fridge, which is, I've got to be honest, that hasn't half changed our lives. Because what we've decided to do is to put the fridge in the kitchen next to the sink. I'm probably saving myself a yard of walking every day. But what that meant is that we had the spare fridge. We had the spare fridge, and there was a time when I was growing up that having a spare fridge was easy. What was that? Well, that was the joke, but but obviously, I didn't know I was in a double act. You know what you've just done then? When I walked out here, I had that same feeling that General Custer had. I looked around the room and thought, I'm from Liverpool, these are from Manchester, I'm outnumbered. But you've managed to put them all on my side. Thanks for that. Because you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The garden's the best place. When I was growing up, that's where we put it. Let's be honest, we all would. If you had some spare white goods, they went in the garden. Just so you could show off to the neighbours. You could say, look, I've got a fridge I don't even use. Look at that. And we're doing that well, we've left the plug on it. That's how you used to show off. But you don't now. You can't do that now. It's not acceptable. And you know, kids don't play with fridges in the same way we used to play with fridges. You know, it's not accepted. In fact, my kids wouldn't know what to do with a fridge in the garden. They wouldn't see it like the adventure that I saw it. You know, my kids, to be honest with you, are posh kids. My kids are posh, spoilt, middle class. My kids are the kids I used to throw stones at, to be honest. And there's some mornings where they're going to the posh schools with the posh satchels. I forget, I'm going, piss off. Sorry, son. You dropped your lunchbox there, all your couscouses fell out. So there's no point, there's no joy in leaving it in the garden. So what we did, I thought I'll have to get rid of it. I don't know if anyone's tried to get rid of a fridge these days. It's a nightmare. But I don't know if you're aware of this fact. that if you're from Liverpool, by law, someone in your family has to have a van. It's true. You ask any scouts that you know, they know someone with a van. And so my brother already, he's got the family van. I phoned him up and said, I need the van. I've got to get rid of a fridge. So I took the fridge. I took the fridge to the dump. Now, as I say, going to the dump used to be great. You could go to the dump and get rid of stuff. Now you go to the dump, you've got to pass an exam. I turned up at the dump. There's a fella there with a yellow vest and a clipboard who's done an MVQ in clipboard management. I turn up at the dump. He said, what have you got? I said, rubbish. And he said, well, what's in the back? I said, the fridge. He said, oof, you can't bring that here. I said, why? He said, we've got an environmental policy now. You can't just bring a fridge here. I said, why not? He said, well, fridges have got furons in. You can't just dump a fridge anymore. I said, well, what has to happen? He said, well, you'd have to phone us up. I said, and then what happens? He said, then we come and get it. I said, who do I ring? And he gave me a number. I'm sat in the van. I got my phone out. I pressed the number. The phone in his hut rang. He went to the hut. He answered the phone. He said, hello. I said, I've got a fridge. He said, where are you? I said, I'm outside, dickhead. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been absolutely lovely. I've been John Bishop. Thank you. Good night. And God bless.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me first. I got married at 22 and divorced at 29. Have I got any divorces in? Give us a cheer. Some really happy people. Well done. Have we got anybody in here who's married? Give us a cheer if you're married. Sound as happy as that fella up there. Never mind, your time will come. Who's married at the front? Give us a wave if you're married. Let's have a look. Nice lady, how long you been married?
3.5.
3.5 years. Oh, you're nearly done. When I got divorced, I moved back in with my mum and dad. That's not good, is it? No. When we first split up, somebody said it was like a bereavement. It's one of those stock phrases that roll out to people who've never thought of peeing on the husband's toothbrush. I'm not telling them. Time's a healer. Plenty more fish in the sea. My own personal favourite. I never liked them. That was me mum. Still get the how are you head tilt. How are you? When I get it straight, it isn't like a bereavement at all. Because if he died, I'd have had me mortgage paid. And I could have danced on his grave. When we first split up, I wanted to see a counsellor, and she suggested that I read Paul McKenna's How to Mend a Broken Heart. Got to page 30, and I slept with a 23-year-old. It's not what it said. What it should have said, because it really bloody worked. When I bought the book, I bought it off Amazon, and underneath it said, customers who bought this also bought suicide isn't always the answer. Because it sometimes is. But when I became newly single, a friend of mine bought me a teapot for one cow. She's not my friend anymore. She's not even alive anymore. She's alive, she's just heavily disfigured. Some kind of teapot-related incident. But I had a bit of a New Year's resolution this year, decided that I was going to start watching me weight. I realised watching me weight doesn't imply that it's going to get any less, does it? Just like I'm documenting how fat I'm going to get. But I think because my my downfall is cakes and puddings. I don't really drink an awful lot. And I was going to say I don't do drugs, but I did have a space cake once. I just heard the word cake. I just found it really dry. I mean, I might not know drugs, but I do know cake. I just think a bit of buttercream wouldn't have gone astray. It's almost like they hadn't thought about the cake part at all. But I think I'm like everybody else in that there are bits of me I really don't like, and I really don't like my legs. And recently I decided, sod it, nobody cares but you, just wear a skirt. So I wore a skirt, and on the first day of wearing a skirt, I got whistled at by a builder. How good is that? Wasn't so much a wolf whistle as he went... It's not the same thing at all, is it? It's like you would a little dog. But I did, in a moment of stupidity recently, I did toy with maybe getting myself some thigh-high boots. And sort of fishing for a compliment, I said to my sister, where would I get thigh-high boots that would fit my thighs? And she said, well, trannies must get them from somewhere. But I've been going through things that have been in storage and deciding what to keep and what to bin, and I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with my wedding dress. Let's get some suggestions from the audience. What about somebody from the top layer? Tell me, what do you think I should do with my wedding dress? Give us a suggestion.
Burn it!
Oh, did you hear that straight away? Bill even finished my sentence. Burn it. Are you all right? Somebody give him a cuddle up there.
Burn it.
That's a bitter man, isn't it?
Burn it. Put the ex-husband in it and just burn it.
Pretty sure that's murder. What about a suggestion from the lovely ladies in the front here? What about any of you lovely ladies? Give me a suggestion. What do you think? Oh, you're conferring. That's good. Tell me. Charity shop. I thought about that because there's one not far from where Mum and Dad live. It's always just full of pensioners. And I love the idea of an old lady buying it for like £4 and just twirling. Lovely. Bless. Some people often suggest that I sell it. Okay, as an audience, do you think there's much of a market for a second-hand wedding dress? Yes or no? Yeah, but some fellas, did you hear the fellas?
Yes, get a cheap one. And everyone get the flowers from a graveyard.
They're quite a nice, normal audience. I sometimes get quite weird suggestions. The weirdest one I've ever had, this guy said to me, totally straight face,
I think you should wear it and follow him round in it.
His girlfriend, I was sitting beside him as if she was going to go, what's he like? And she just went... That's not my favourite one. My favourite one I've ever had. Somebody said I should wear it on first dates. No, I'm not looking for anything serious. La, la, la. Oh, you've been really nice. But I'll leave you with one thing. I've noticed recently how you can tell as a woman whether or not you're overweight. It's during the throes of passion, when your partner picks you up, whether or not he says 1, 2, 3 first. You'll be lovely. Thank you very much. Good night.
Wow. I am from Oldham, like you said, just down the road there, which is, whoa. If you're wondering where you can smell Silic Bang from, that's coming from me. It's nice being here, because if I was back home now, I'd be throwing stones at the moon now, so... I don't know if anybody's done that. You'll notice as well, I think I'm probably the fattest comic that's going to be on the bill tonight, so any other sufferers? Yeah, well done, mate. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, you're overweight. You're like me, you can't deny it, can you? You know, there's no holding it in anymore. You go, yeah, I'm fat. I put weight on about 8 years ago, and I genuinely thought, when I was looking forward to it, because I thought, I don't know about you, mate, but I genuinely thought that I would, if I become fat, I'd become bubbly and get a great personality. That's all I'd ever heard about fat people, is how nice they were. And I'm not, I'm still miserable, that's a problem. Eat chocolate at 2 a.m. and cry. Has anybody ever used a cat to polish a telly? You know the cat's asleep in front of the TV. a bit of dust on your screen. You just pick your cat up and wipe your telly. I know I'm not the only one who's done that. If you've got laminate flooring, you can put your foot on it and drag it like that. They love it.
Hey, I'm cleaning.
Just spray them up with polish before you do it. I can't do that now because I've got a dog, right? I've got a border collie. He's 7 years old. I think I did one of the funniest things I've ever done with him a couple of years ago, and these people are going to hate me for this, right? But I got him drunk, right? Now, I didn't mean to get the dog drunk. Right, I'll tell you what happened. Took him out for a walk. He cut his paw. 2 stitches, course of antibiotics, £245 at the vets. Yeah. Amputation, £310. I didn't, but you think, well, he won't cut it again, will he? But... So I thought I'd cheer him up. I put some brandy in his milk. It's wrong, but the funniest thing I've ever done. I was drinking myself. You can't get your dog drunk. You've got to drink with them. That's tight, you know what I mean? They just stare at you and go, why am I drinking on my own then? You're going to take pictures of me, put it on Facebook. Oh, I'll have a drink with you. And so I put a slug of brandy in. I didn't think it'd have that big effect on him. I thought it might make him sleep because he was in pain. He came in, and half an hour later, it kicked in. Now, he normally doesn't react to anything on TV, but he started trying to howl, but he couldn't. He was just lying there going, and I started laughing. I couldn't stop myself. I was laughing so much. And he got angry, wanted to fight me. So he was like, calm down, you've had a drink, sit down, what's wrong with you? And then he spent half an hour just texting old girlfriends. That's all he did. Bizarre. It is bizarre. I have got kids as well, and I would imagine we've got quite a few parents in. I've got 3 children there, and it's gas getting awkward because my eldest now, she's 20, and This is hard for me to admit, and there's a lot of men will know what I'm talking about. She's 20. I'm very proud of the way she's turned out. She's a lovely young woman. But I'm more interested in sleeping with her friends now, which... it's a bit hard to admit. I shouldn't really be doing it on TV. I've got to be honest with you. I've just realised. But it makes you uncomfortable. She brings them home some weekends, and you try and be nice. You all right, girls? You have a sleepover? You what, Dad? We don't do that anymore. We're all 20. All right, just being friendly. Stop staring at them. You make them uncomfortable. Put your pants on. The hardest thing with the kids at the minute is this boredom threshold. Have you noticed how dead easily, so bored. It winds me up more than any... When I was a kid, seriously, a dead bumblebee, right? 2 weeks that'd give me fun. 2 weeks. I'd know where it was on the street. I'd even have a stick to poke it. Dead bumblebee. Go and have a look at that. Touch it. There's you. Go on, touch it. No, my dad said this thing. Your dad's a liar. Your dad touches bin men. What? Well, it's a lack of imagination. It's like my favourite game when I was a kid. My favourite game was to get an old leather football that had burst, take out the bladder and fill it with broken bricks. And then you put the football with the broken bricks on a road outside a pub. You knew when a man had beer in him and he saw the football. Oh, I could have been a professional. You're on the other end of the street. Kick us a ball back, mister. Right, lads, on your head. Yeah, if you can lift it, you prick. Listen, folks, you've been lovely. I've been Mick Furry. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye.
Good. Hey, nice one. Thank you. How are you? Michael McIntyre, everyone. How good's he? What a legend. The Apollo. Look at this. Is anyone else thinking they've scrubbed it up quite nice, haven't they? Looks nice now it's on the telly. When we usually hear it, it's all right shit all, isn't it? But look at it. It's well nice. Good work, Hardwick. I mean, a lot of these cameras are not going to make it back to London. You know that, don't you? So, good. So, My wife's pregnant at the moment. We're expecting twins in the summer, and we're all very excited, yeah. And she was getting very broody at work. Like, five women in the space of a month got pregnant. She was like, oh, it must be something in the water. I'm like, well, unless it's sperm, don't matter, does it? There's no... There's no actual correlation there, is it? It's just coincidence, really. No, she's very broody all the time, my wife. And we were trying for kids for ages, and we were trying. And after a while, you think maybe there's something wrong. You know, you get to that point. And we went to the doctors. And I hope nobody ever has to go through this situation. It's an embarrassing situation. It's awful, right? It's a little bit demeaning sometimes. And we went in, and luckily nothing was wrong. It all happened fine. But we went in, and we met this doctor, Dr. Barron, as well. That's not who you want to meet when you're talking. Is there anyone else available? Dr. Low Sperm Count or something? What's going on here? Anyway, she dealt with it fine, right? She asked my wife a load of questions. Then she turned to me, right? She says to me, right, Mr. Manford, how many times on average a week do you masturbate? God, a week. I've left my diary at home, like you keep a tally of it, you know what I mean? She's like, come on, how many times? My wife is proper laughing as well, like, sweat is pouring down my back. I said I don't really, you know, I'm too busy. She says, no, come on, we're all adults. How many times a week? I said, just, you know, the average amount, really. Whatever the national average is, that's me. Bang on in the middle there. Whatever the neighbours are doing, that's me. Keeping up with the Joneses, that's me. She said, well, what's the average? I said, well, I don't know. You're the expert. I don't know what's going on here. In the end, I just had to guess. Right, I thought, right, I'm just going to have to go for it. So I just went, five? That's above the average, right? I don't know if they're... The average is 2.5. I don't know who's having half a one. I don't know. Who's that bloke? On a Friday. I think we'll leave it there, folks. And put that up first thing Monday morning. I'm looking forward to being a dad. I'm looking forward to it. Because dads are amazing. They can do stuff that nobody's ever taught them. You know, like changing a plug with a butter knife. That's never something that... That's in no DIY manual, that, is it? Give it here, I'll sort that out here at the kitchen table. Don't worry about it, there we are. Is that live? That live, that. that live. And parents are important. They teach you, of course, they teach you everything. I mean, dads are less important, I think, in the sense that most of the stuff they do is just made up. You know what I mean? They've made it up. They're liars, aren't they? Dads are liars. They're nothing serious. Like the classic in our house, and you might have had this, it's a classic all over this country, you might have heard this before, is when the ice cream van comes round. When he plays his music, that means he's got no ice creams left, doesn't it, right? And that, in our house, was a fact, OK? I mean, to the point where you'd seen a line of kids outside, you go, Dad, them stupid kids out there. They're deaf or something. What's going on there? Don't they know the truth like me and you? Anyway, I'm off to college. Right, you know, those lies... those lies would stay with you forever, wouldn't they? My dad told us that black puddings lived at the bottom of the garden, right? That they were little animals. And every morning, he'd go down, he'd catch a few in a net, take the legs off, poke their eyes out, put them in a pan, have them for his breakfast. Now, that's quite cute at home. Makes you sound like a right knobhead at school, though, it does. No wonder we got bullied. What are you doing this weekend, Jace? Go on, black pudding onto me with my dad. But the worst one my dad did... I remember I was always a little bit in trouble. My brother was in trouble. We'd always fight. And my dad, he was working nights, so one of the rules was you just got to be quiet all the way through the day, really quiet. And he'd be fast asleep upstairs. And me and my brothers, even when we were proper fighting, I'd still be on mute. It was amazing. And my brother would wind me up. He'd come running in from playing football, all hot and sweating. He'd go to the fridge, he'd start drinking milk straight out of a four-pinter. I could see bits of sweat going off his lip onto the milk. That's going on my ready break, innit? I don't need that. So what I'd do as an eight-year-old is I'd hide behind the fridge and I'd jump out, squeeze it in his face dead hard. Now, that's quite humorous now when we're adults, right? When you're eight, that is the funniest thing you will ever see. Until it starts seeping out of his ears and his nose, and then you've come to a new level. And he'd be like, Dad! Mum! I'd be like, shut your mouth. I'll kill you. Chopper made it worse, obviously, you know. And then I'd hear that worst sound of my childhood, my dad's foot hitting the floor upstairs. swear, I was only 8, like, crikey. Right. Britain all the beat up, you know. And then you start coming down the stairs like doo, 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 doo. When you make it into the kitchen, you go, right, what's going on here then? Even though dads, they already know. My dad is like something out of CSI Manchester, something like that, you know. Spilt milk coming out of his ears, all right, I've worked it out. He's like Columbo, he's worked it out in the first 5 minutes, but like Columbo, likes to drag it out over an hour. All right, what's going on? And he throw this extra finger in my dad, he'd go, right, stick your tongues out.
What?
I don't know if anyone did it. Stick your tongues out.
Why?
Because it's well known, a liar's tongue turns bright green straight after the lie.
Oh, does it? I didn't know that.
So my brother, not been lying, tongue straight out. Nice and pink. Me, who had been lying, think I'm not falling for this, I'm going to keep my green tongue in my mouth.
I think I've won this one.
That's a couple of dads going, I'm having that one. I go, home, that's going in. And it honestly, it works a treat. And then he drag us up. We didn't have a phone at home, so he drag us up to the phone box, right, up to the Dallas number. Hello? Is that Chief Inspector Williams, Greater Manchester Police? You'll go to prison.
Prison?
I'm only 8. Okay, if you're old enough to push milk in your brother's face, you're old enough to go to prison, all right. She's not a phrase I've heard since, but he swore by it. Yeah, he's been bad again. All right, yeah. Then the phone will come to me. Hello!
I saw
it's Chief Inspector Williams here, Great Manchester Police, and if you're bad again, I will come round with the van and the dogs, take you to Strangeways Prison for 15 years.
Don't do that! I was only 8, I wouldn't last in prison!
And you wouldn't either, would you? What are you in for, mate?
Pushing milk in my brother's face!
It's our first day. And that used to happen every week for about 6 years to me and both my brothers. And I never realised, but we stopped ringing Chief Inspector Williams shortly after my granddad died. just never put two and two together all those years. Thinking back now, he didn't even change his voice. It was just him. He wasn't even acting. I just believed it so much. The weird thing was, my nana, she had the exact same voice as the woman who owned the orphanage. I never got to the bottom of that. But the granddad one, I only worked it out as well. I've got another little brother now. He's 8 years old, Niall. And my daddy rang me up out of the blue. It was in Tesco's or something. I went, aye. He went, aye. That Chief Inspector Williams, Greater Manchester Police.
I will not be part of your lie, old man. It ends right here.
Thanks very much, Manchester Apollo. Good night, God bless. Bye-bye. Cheers.